This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Now, Rick Bruce and Lee Cohen. These are a couple of guys that don't even know the meaning of play dead.
It's 11:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a guest in the studio, a returning guest, Mike Morgan from Mid-Michigan Kennels. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Good morning, guys. Good to see you.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you back in. Mike, we've been talking about the importance of socialization. And in our previous segment, we had Janice in here explaining what it is that they do out at doggy daycare, allowing the dogs to be physically together in one place as opposed to being in separate kennels all through the day. What do you think about that concept, and is it important?
I think it's a great concept. If the dog from an early age was socialized with other dogs properly, throughout its life it's going to get along with other dogs. And I think it's a great concept. Good for the dogs.
Well, and I would imagine it's important to make sure that you're being a little bit cautious with what dogs you admit to that environment, because we've talked in the past about the pack mentality and how one dog can really affect what goes on within a pack.
Absolutely. If you get, you got four dogs that are all getting along very well, and you bring that fifth one into the mix that wasn't socialized properly or doesn't have good behavior around other dogs, it can turn all the other four dogs to the dark side as well. That one bad experience could make the other dogs be on guard and a little apprehensive with the new dogs that they meet in the future.
Right.
Is there nature versus nurture? Is there, the ones that can't socialize? What's usually the history behind them, and why is it that they don't make good socialized animals in those open area situations?
I don't think there's anything genetically or inherent in any dog to not socialize well, per se. I think it starts at that critical age of 8 to 12 weeks is that primary imprinting phase, and it's during that initial 4 weeks that when people get a new puppy – that they've got to make sure they expose that dog to a lot of situations and environments, not just other dogs and how to do that properly, but people, places, and things. I tell people when they call and they just get a new puppy, they want to know how soon they can start obedience classes. I'll just tell them, you don't want to really start any formal training till about 4 or 5 months of age because, the retention and all that kind of stuff there. But between now and then, your work is to get that dog out of your house. Get it around people and places and noises and other dogs.
Sure. And can you give us any, other areas that people may not think of that they can socialize their animal?
Well, I think most of your pet stores are very pet friendly these days. It used to be you couldn't take your dog, but now I think actually Solden's actually really started that, as far as I can know, as in the dog community,
right,
of welcoming the dogs into the store to shop.
In the store, yep.
Sure.
Yep.
And I think, I've told people, especially this time of year, hopefully the heat wave's coming on Sunday and Monday, but in the 40s, but from my understanding is sometimes the Tractor Supply Company, TSC or Menards or Lowe's, depending on the manager in the store.
Sure.
Some of those places are accessible.
Yeah, and even us at our store, a weekend is a pretty busy place at Bruce Pets. And we actually invite them in. The only area that we kind of keep people away from would be the bird area, because they may not necessarily recognize that as a friendly and happy puppy.
Right. And it's just so critical. When you get that new puppy and you want to socialize it with other dogs and people, you got to make sure that it's a positive exposure. You can't let it go bad. If you take your new puppy into PetSmart or to Prusa's Pets or to Solden's, any one of the ones that allow you to bring your dog in.
Yep.
And you don't know the person coming down the aisle. You don't know what their dog is going to act like. You've got to be very careful with that, because if you've got a young puppy and a big dog with pointed ears munches on it or gets a hold of her, causes a bad situation, now in that puppy you've instilled that bigger dogs with pointed ears are a threat, and that will stay with them. Dogs have wonderful memories. I mean, we talk about elephants, but I'm going to tell you, I've seen dogs remember. Uh-huh. And the sad thing is, because of that, people who do a lot of rescue work don't know the background of the dog. So when I get calls or I get people that come into the training facility and they'll ask, my dog is doing this, this, and this, and I'm trying to figure out what to do about it and what's causing it. And the first question I ask them is, how old was the dog when you got it? And many times, I, you know, 7 weeks old, and then we start talking about how to socialize and the questions on that line. If they tell me, well, we rescued it and it was about 14 months when we got it.
Sure.
Now we've
sure.
got a vast amount of time that's unknown.
Sure.
We've got to really work hard to figure out what we're going to do to turn the dog around.
And when you're bringing them out in public, is there anything that you need to be concerned about? Not so much with the dogs that come up to them, but the interactions with humans.
Well, the one thing that almost drives me crazy, and I'm sure there's a lot of people have a different opinion on this, but drives me crazy is when people come up and they kind of stick their hand out kind of in a tentative manner. They think they should let the dog smell them
okay.
before they pet them. And basically the dog's looking at that going, oh, what are you up to? Because you're kind of you're that tentative behavior of caution, the dogs see that as they don't know what you're up to. They're not sure of your intention. You know, and if you're going to walk up to somebody, always, you know, obviously ask, is your dog friendly and can I pet him?
Sure.
Before you just reach out. But then when they say, yes, my dog is friendly, you can pet him, pet the dog.
Okay.
The dog, you say,
okay.
good boy, and just reach out and pet them. And so the dog is clear on what your intentions are.
Okay.
Some dogs see that.
I think in the past, you know, it's one of those things where you're thinking maybe they need to smell you first or anything like that. But bottom line is it's going to be a more direct understanding for the dog if when you ask, can I pet him? And then that's the pet.
If the owner says no, obviously you're not going to stick your hand out to let him smell you.
Yeah, there
so
you go.
Why even
go there?
So make your intentions clear. If the owner says, yes, my dog is friendly, go ahead and pet him.
Sure.
Just pet him. The dog
sure.
is going to be more comfortable with that. It's going to see that as a very natural behavior. But when you start doing that hand in slowly, fingers curled up presentation, I think you're basically saying, taste me.
Now, as a dog owner, is that the right choice to make? Is the right choice when somebody asks you, can I pet your dog? The answer should be yes.
Well, you got to know your dog. If you know your dog has some socialization issues and there's a chance that it could go bad, say, well, I'd rather you didn't. He's a little slow to accept strangers.
Okay. Okay.
You know, people come in with their dog to sign up for obedience classes.
Sure.
I always want to meet the dog to make sure we have good socialization on the dog side of things and the people side of things, because those problems have to be fixed before we start an obedience class. We can't have them in there doing those kind of naughty things. And if I say, well, is your dog friendly? Well, it takes them a while to warm up to people. Okay, come on in and sit down. And while they're doing some of their paperwork, I'll hold the leash and the dog slowly warms up and I can pet it and good there. But you got to know your dog. And if you got to be honest about it too. And if you know your dog has issues, then don't subject somebody else to maybe a bad situation. Because if your dog doesn't accept them and it does snap out at them, the dog gets a win, so to speak, and that behavior may perpetuate itself and it's going to carry on. Especially
right.
if you're not going to correct it.
And Mike, one of the things that I know a lot of people don't necessarily think about, but as I was reading, I was telling you about this article before we came into the studio, and one of the things that they talked about was if you move and you go from being in the city to being in the country, that the socialization of the dog doesn't necessarily end just because they're no longer a puppy. It's something that you have to continue working on with dogs, especially when all of a sudden if you have new children added to the family unit or if you change the environment. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, anytime you turn a dog's world upside down, i.e. you move from one home, say you lived in the country and you move to another home in the country, anytime you make those drastic changes in a dog's world, they need some recovery time. I mean, it's kind of like kids changing schools. I mean, they don't just walk into the next school and automatically have all the sound, you know, the foundation they had in the other school. So anytime you change a dog's environment, you're going to have some transitional times for the dog. And socialization is a lifelong process for dogs.
If I'm moving, give me an idea, and I have a dog, an example, what are some of the things that you would do to kind of make the dog feel more socialized? Or what are some of the things you wouldn't do to make them more socialized in that new environment?
I think if you're going to change the environment drastically, like a whole new home and a backyard and all that, keep the routines the same. If the dog is used to you getting up at 7 and they have breakfast at 7:15 and then they go out for their walk at 7:25, don't change the routine. If the environment changes, keep your routine sound. Don't add multiple changes to the dog's life at one time.
Mm-hmm.
If the environment changes, try to keep your schedule the same.
Yeah.
In the addition of kids to the home. As new babies come in, I always tell people to take home the receiving blankets. You know, usually mom stays an extra night in the hospital. Bring that first receiving blanket home. Throw it on the floor on the dog's bed. Let the dog get used to that new smell. And then don't isolate the baby from the dog. Mm-hmm. Let the dog be part of it. Let the dog come up and sniff. And dogs' mouths are cleaner than ours. So if a dog licks your baby on the cheek, it's not going to hurt anything. But let them be all part of that process of bringing that new baby home.
And probably, and I know from personal experience, you know, anytime you let that dog be part of the child, it's not only that it's going to accept it, but it'll also be kind of like its protector, if you will.
Or, it takes ownership. It's a new member of the pack, and it's to be protected and brought into the fold. Right. Absolutely.
Right, sure.
And, Mike, one of the other interesting parts of this conversation, last week we had Sue Sellers-Rose, who is going to the dog show over in England, I believe that it was, in a couple of weeks. There's a major show over there. And she was commenting something that really reminded me of you a little bit, because you go to Europe in order to buy the dogs that you use for police work because the dogs are so well socialize because they're allowed to pretty much go everywhere in society. And Sue was commenting favorably in the same way. Is that something that we really should look at over here in terms of our society and allowing dogs to be more a part of it and therefore they integrate better into that society?
Absolutely, yes. But what I'm seeing as time has gone on, I'm seeing that we are becoming that. I mean, you hear more of the dog parks. You hear more beaches being dog-friendly, open to dogs being there. And I think as dog owners, we can help the process by being responsible dog owners with the socializing, with obedience training, and more importantly, cleaning up after our dogs. That's I think a lot of the reservations of people getting to have let dogs come into their businesses or whatever is the fact that the dog has an accident. What are you going to do? I mean, I was in Belgium, in Maastricht, which is a very nice shopping, old 14th century city, shopping, and there was dogs everywhere. And one in a jewelry store relieved itself, and the owner got into her purse, and she had everything in her purse to clean up after that dog.
Wow.
And the jewelry store owner didn't even bat an eye because it was just right now taken care of and mitigated.
And I can tell you, we got nice tile surfaces in our store, but that happens. But unfortunately, from time to time, I've noticed that the people just kind of
look away.
The other way and sneak away.
Yeah,
get it
absolutely.
On camera. It's kind of amazing to watch, but yeah, it is true that we need to be a more conscious public.
Well, as usual, Mike, this conversation could continue forever, but unfortunately, we're out of time. So thanks so much for coming in. We've been talking this morning with Mike Morgan, the owner of Mid Michigan Kennels. And Rick, we're going to continue the conversation with an animal behaviorist right after the break, right here on the Mid Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
All right, everybody.